Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Heaven, and when I say heaven, I mean the new heavens and the new earth. Heaven is God's new creation. And we're going to read about the new heaven and earth. Here is the incredible, wonderful future that awaits every believer who knows Christ.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. We live in a fallen world, a world that is groaning under the curse of sin. But followers of Jesus Christ have an eternal perspective and can look forward to a glorious future. Today on The Verdict, we're continuing our study in the book of Revelation by learning more about this brilliant future in the new heaven and the new earth. So now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
What's heaven like? We began to answer that question last time as we looked at the opening verses of Revelation 21. We think of this world, a world of sin, and a world which is under a curse. Paul talks about creation groaning, and we know that is true. Think of the recent fires and earthquakes and hurricanes and famine and floods and drought throughout the world. But God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And in the new heaven and the new earth, God will dwell with us, and we shall be his people. Now we see, as it were, through a glass darkly, but then face to face. There is no end to the grace of God demonstrated to his people. So let's learn more of the new heaven and the new earth.
Will you stand and read with me from Revelation chapter 21? Here is the word of God to us, as John writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.' And he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.'" Thank you. Amen. Please be seated. I want to ask and to try to answer the question from this passage: what is heaven like? I want to say four things about it. First of all, here's the first thing. Heaven is God's new creation. Here is our eternal home, a joining of heaven, a new heaven, a new universe, and a new earth. So first, heaven is God's new creation. Secondly, heaven is the presence of God. Verse 3. "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" What's heaven like? It's God's new creation. Secondly, it's the presence of God. Third, it's the removal of all evil. Don't you love this one? Verse 4. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You think of all of the tears this week on this world, this planet. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. In these last two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22, John lists seven familiar things that will not be present in heaven. And he expresses them in a negative way. Four of them are mentioned here in verse 4. No death, no mourning, no crying, and no pain. Think of it. No disease, no cancer, no divorce, no addictions, no crime, no violence, no abuse, no wars, no funeral service, no partings. Eternally free from sin and evil and death itself. Unimaginable. And this, my dear brother and sister, this, in the grace of God, is the future for every believer who knows Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the dead shall be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. Our bodies will never again experience disease or weakness or aging. Who's it that says that getting old isn't for sissies? No aging in heaven. Perfect, resurrected bodies. Yes, our present physical bodies will be resurrected. There will be a continuity from what we are now with what we shall be then, and we are changed. And we'll have all of eternity to explore the wonder of the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and the new earth. You imagine an existence where all evil, all sin, all tears, all crying are ended. The new heaven and the new earth is the removal of all evil. All of our limitations because of disease, because of infirmity in our body, in our universe, all of that totally gone. Joni Erickson Tada, the quadriplegic, says, I still can hardly believe it. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope this gives someone spinal cord injured like me? Or someone who is cerebral palsy, brain injured, or who has had multiple sclerosis? Imagine the hope this gives someone who is manic depressive. No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, hearts, and minds. Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope. Do you believe that? You say, well, I'm not like Joni Tada. That may be, but don't you have these limitations as well? Think of the heartache. Think of the pain. Not just physical pain, but emotional pain through living in this fallen world. Life as we know it on earth with its heartache, its aches, its pains, its sorrows, its tragedies, its wars, its funerals, its diseases, its pains and disappointments, all eternally gone. No more tears. Imagine an existence with no tears, no crying. We saw in verse 1, there'll be no more sea. Sea in Scripture is often the symbol of the restless wicked, of conflict and separation. No more sea. Perhaps in the new heavens, on the new earth, there will be some fresh water lakes. I suspect I love the sea, but in this universe, there is no more sea. Chapter 22, verse 3, there is no more curse. All of the effects of the fall, all of the effects of the curse, the sweats, the pain, the tragedy, the death that comes from this world being under a curse, all of that eternally gone. And notice chapter 22, verse 5, and night will be no more. Children generally are not afraid of the day, but they're sometimes afraid at night. It's not just children that don't like the dark. We don't like the dark. Problems always seem, don't they, 100 times worse in the middle of the night. When you wake up at 3 o'clock, your imagination can go all over the place, and the fear and anxiety can seem to be much, much worse at night in the dark than in the day. But in heaven, I love this, there's no more night. Blackness and sorrow and fear and worry, anxiety and sin are forever gone. No longer tempted by sin. Wouldn't that be incredible? No longer harassed by the devil. Don't you long for that? Heaven is a removal of all evil. Death is forever banished. And we'll experience a life that is unimaginable, of perfect love and joy and peace and fellowship. Then everlasting joy we shall obtain. Sorrow and sighing then shall flee away. There shall be neither grief nor crying nor pain to cast a shadow over the eternal day. No night, no darkness, no shadows in the new heaven and the new earth. No sunset. The Lamb, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, the lamp is the Lamb, verse 23. What's heaven like? It's God's new creation. It's the presence of God. It's removal of all evil. And it is, as I said at the beginning, for believers only. Verse 5. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Praise God. "The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Who's in heaven? Oh, clearly, it's for believers in Christ only. And God himself, in verses 5 and 6, is guaranteeing the certainty of the new heaven and the new earth. This is not fiction. This is not the product of someone's imagination. Verse 5, these words are trustworthy and true. Of course they are. The eternal promises rest on the character of a God who cannot lie. And to emphasize what John is saying, we are told he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, reminding us that God is the creator and the origin of all things. Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, reminding us that God not only is the source of all things, he's the goal of all things. He's the end of all things. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the eternal God. He knows the end from the beginning. And what he has promised, his words are trustworthy and true. And this is the future of all who know Christ. Do you want to go to heaven? Notice the gracious invitation in verse 6. This is the grace of God, isn't it? That as John is talking about the new heaven and the new earth, he can't resist reminding us that this wonderful future is all of God's grace. "I will give from the spring of the water of life," that's eternal life, "without payment." Reminds us of Isaiah 55, verse 1. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy milk and come buy wine and milk without money and without price." That's it. It's an incredible future. You don't buy it. You have to go on a pilgrimage. You'll need to achieve something that at the end of the day, this is your reward. No, Jesus says, "If anyone thirsts," oh, that's it. You're thirsty for God. "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. All those in heaven have responded to the call of Jesus to come. Come to him and you'll never thirst again. Come to him if you're weary and burdened, and he will give you rest, rest for your soul, eternal rest. Have you answered the invitation of God's Son to come and to drink of these eternal waters? You're trying to get a little bit of pleasure on this earth. You're trying to escape some of the tears and the pain by going to alcohol or drugs or promiscuity. You think you can deal with some of the pain in that kind of way? That deep longing in your heart, you know it's there. And all of the success in this world can't satisfy that deep, deep void in your heart. And so here it is. You can drink of the water of life. In John 4, there's a woman who was thirsty. She tried to get satisfied in a series of relationships. She had about 5 or 6 men in her life. Hadn't brought her peace, hadn't brought her satisfaction. And as she goes to a well for some water, Jesus says to her, listen, if you drink of that water, you'll thirst again. Of course you will. You think you can mask your pain by having a life of promiscuity, a life of self-indulgence, a life of making money, whatever it is? You'll thirst again. You'll wake up tomorrow morning and you'll be thirsty again. But Jesus says, now, if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. How could that be? Jesus says, listen, the water that I give you is a water of life. It's a fountain of water springing up to life eternal. Read the story in John chapter 4. That is, if you come to Christ, the inexhaustible Christ, you'll be satisfied for all of eternity. And here is this glorious invitation. Come to Christ and drink of his waters. Turn from your sin and your selfishness and embrace Christ who loves you, who died for you, who rose again. And the one who conquers, verse 7, this believer who trusts the promises of God. Notice what the promise is. I will be his God and he will be my son. Not only will God save you, not only will he give you eternal life, he adopts you into this eternal family. He adopts us. Paul says, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ in Romans 8. I will be his God and he will be my son. You see, God is my father. I'm a son of God. I'm part of this eternal family all through the grace of Jesus Christ. And notice this, it says, the one who conquers will have this heritage, this inheritance. Peter says we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And in this magnificent description of the new heaven and the new earth, John in verse 8 gives this warning, doesn't he, that I just read. And what a serious warning it is in verse 8 about peoples whose portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. One commentator writes, even on the threshold of unimaginable joy, John can't bear a parting glance over his shoulder into the abyss. In heaven, there's no defilement of sin. See, unless you're cleansed by Christ, you can't get into heaven. Two clear classes of people: those who are trusting Christ, who've had their sins forgiven, who have received eternal life, and those who reject Christ. Those who trust themselves, those who have not got round to trusting Christ, whatever their excuse is, and their portion is the lake of fire. Heaven is for believers only. We saw that last week, didn't we? Verse 15 of chapter 20. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Brother, sister, if you're following Christ, will you rejoice this morning? What a future we have. Will you live with an eternal perspective? This life is fleeting. Heaven is eternal. Richard Baxter writes, there's nothing else that is worth setting our hearts on. I understand this life is difficult, but in the midst of trials and difficulties, tears and suffering, will you look up to Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we right now, you right now, can receive eternal life, a life which will never end. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, there'll be no less days to sing his praise than when we'd first be done. What rejoicing there will be when we all get to heaven. I'm going to pray and ask you, if you've never done it, to open your heart to Christ, to ask him to come and save you. And if you are a follower of Christ, will you thank him for your future? And will you keep your eyes on Christ? And may this future that we have, may it motivate us and inspire us to love Christ and to live for him. Our Father and our God, I pray for those who have not yet drunk of this water of life, who are still unsaved. As they sit here, Father, some of them are resisting the Holy Spirit. Break their hard hearts, open their eyes to see their sin and to understand that they'll never by themselves enter heaven. And open their eyes to see the beauty of our Savior, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, we praise you. We're so excited when we think of this future. Nothing or no one on this earth can take it from us. Help us to love you and to serve you with all of our hearts until that great day when the clouds will open. And what a day of rejoicing that will be when we see Jesus. And with all of the redeemed, we will praise you. In his name, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a message titled, The New Heaven and Earth. And to go along with this final segment of study in Revelation, we'd like to send you a free copy of John's brand new booklet titled, For the Time is Near. This booklet offers readers a helpful overview of the important themes and key takeaways found in Revelation. So get your copy today by going online to theverdict.org. And as with previous segments in Revelation, we're also offering the Revelation Listening Guide to go along with chapters 15 through 22. Again, just go to theverdict.org for more details. We pray that each of these lessons and the related resources have helped you in your spiritual journey. And today we're inviting you to help other listeners experience the same benefit by helping us cover the cost of making these resources widely available. To give any amount, simply visit theverdict.org. You can also give over the phone by calling us at 833-551-2231 or send a donation in the mail to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina 28226. And then just a quick reminder to subscribe to our podcast and get exclusive access to John's topical weekly segment called Avizandum. You'll find us on most podcast apps by searching for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? Do you have the assurance of eternal life? Have you been saved by the grace of God? If you believe that you're going to heaven when you die, what's the basis of that certainty? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father apart from me. Make sure your trust is in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, was buried, and who rose again. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.